Welcome to episode 110 of the Geocaching Podcast, upgrading your GPSR. I'm your host, XFunkX, with
Daryl W4.
If you want to participate on our show today, please call 724-444-7444, and our TalkCast ID is 7525. You can also join our live chat room to participate with our other listeners, and that can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.info. Click the Join Now to Participate button on the right. We have a voicemail line, which can be found at 206-3503-GPS, and we're on Twitter at twitter.com/GCPodcast. Well, Daryl, it's good to be back and kind of on Talk Show again. You know, it seems like we've had some trouble the last couple of weeks, and we've had even trouble today, but, you know, half an hour later, we're actually on Talk Show again, and it's good to do a live show again.
Yeah, you know, I wish we had all the people we had in the room earlier, but with the delays, we thought we were going to have to do it offline, and then fortunately TalkShoe came back up. So hopefully people caught our tweets and will be joining us again on the talk show here.
True. Well, you know, what have you been up to since last week? I know last week we talked offline since we didn't do a live show, but what have you been up to since then?
Well, I got out for some shooting on Friday night in the rain, for one of my favorite types of shooting, and I have all those photos on Flickr. I love doing the night photography, and just that one short little maybe hour-long session kind of reinvigorated me, and I want to get out and shoot a lot more now. Saturday, though, we went out virtual caching, got, it was six more virtuals and a few more traditionals and a whole nother big loop. Hopefully we're going to be able to get out this weekend, but we're going to be doing Cachers of the Roundtable for July, so we might not be able to get out caching, but I have a route planned for 13. But back on the shooting subject, we went shooting on Sunday at Crossroads Village and Huckleberry Railroad, which is this cool little historical park out in Flint, Michigan. The National Park Service was actually doing a shoot out there trying to get some kind of like Civil War era, I think they called it a docudrama or something like that, but it's a 30-minute film that they're producing, and they picked Crossroads Village to do it, probably because they have the Narrow Gauge Railroad there, and they have a nice little downtown that just really fit well with, you know, some nice farm homes and stuff like that. And really, it looks very accurate from what I can tell. You know, not that I was
there.
You're right. So, you know, it just gives it a nice feel. And they were out there shooting. They had three cameras going, usually only two at a time, and all kinds of weird fill-in set things going. You know, they had the fake walls up. So there's like, here's a big building and here's another building, you know, like a full storefront away, but there's nothing filling that storefront. So they went and put a facade in between those two buildings to fill it in, and it looked really kind of weird, but I'm sure on camera it looks, you know, just perfect.
Yeah, you won't notice those at all.
No, not at all. So yeah, we had fun kind of watching that a little bit, and, you know, got to ride the train and shot a bunch of pictures. And the favorite from me, my whole set there, and again, those are on Flickr, was one that I didn't expect to really work out all that well, which was a bag of flour being filled in the grits mill.
That sounds like a cool shot. I'll have to take a look at those.
Well, they're all there for you to take a look at anytime you want.
And we will link
to
those.
Now, what have you been up to?
I was just going to say, we will link to those two in our show notes. As far as what I've been up to, Friday was our me and Jules' five-year anniversary, wedding anniversary. So, you know, we hit a couple caches. We were also kidless. My parents took our boys and had them for the whole weekend. So we did a lot of cool things. We played a new board game that Jules got called, what was it called? It was a train board game. It was kind of cool. You build your railroad across the United States, and that was definitely kind of cool. And then we also spent a lot of time in our garden, harvested my first hot pepper and ate it today. We also went disc golfing this weekend. That was a lot of fun, but it had rained a lot this last week, and so parts of the golf course, the disc golf course, were kind of flooded. We almost had to swim through them almost, but it was a lot of fun. Now,
well, congrats on the 5 years, and sounds like you celebrated in a good way, at least.
Yeah, we did. And I just thought of the name of that game, too. It was called Empire Builder. So if, in case anyone wants to ever check it out, it's a lot of fun. It's about a 4 or 6 hour game, though. So it's kind of like along the same lines of like Monopoly, you know, or Risk. It takes a while to complete, but it's a fun game.
Yeah, I'm thinking Risk, but yeah, I've seen the game before. Just never picked it up because it looked a little too complex for my short attention span.
I have a tough time playing Risk too, just because it is, you know, kind of involved. But I had a lot of fun with this game, and it was definitely a fun game. Now I understand that we've had some email come in. Daryl, what's the first one?
Well, our first one comes from Spin Doc Bob. And his goes on to say, regarding mobile applications, I heard you mention in episode 107 some missing apps. Another thing I think you left out was Smart GPX. This is a great free application for Symbian S60/80 phones. You drop a GPX file in and import it. If you have a GPS embedded in the phone, enabled phone, you can search for nearby caches. You can also mark caches as found, and then as entries in your calendar, decrypt hints, and include photos. Highly recommended. And that's at www.smartcaching.de. And of course, that link's going to be in the show notes.
Now, we've also received an email from Frank from Frockhammen. And he says, I know from listening to your podcast, you are a big fan of PowerNotes, and that you always mention it as an application that supports field notes. In a recent show, you have said that you were unaware of any applications that also support field notes. He says that he has written his own GPX viewer for Windows mobile devices. It's a freeware program that also supports field notes. The application is not designed for power runs, but is basically what good old GPX view could have been if the development had continued. And we'll go ahead and link to that in our show notes also. Now in the news, we'll start off with two new GPSRs from Garmin.
Yeah, that's right. The wrist-mounted Fortrex 401 and 301 with high-sensitivity and USB interfaces were announced last week. These are lightweight, waterproof devices for light hikers, skiers, campers, and military personnel to wear comfortably on their wrist, as described by Garmin. These units are powered from two AAA batteries and weigh roughly about 3 ounces. Each supports 500 waypoints, 20 routes, 10 safe tracks, and up to 10,000 point track logs. The 401 has the electronic compass and barometric altimeter, and also the wireless capability for communication between the Garmin heart rate monitors and cadence sensors. The wireless communication also supports waypoints, routes, and tracks between the wireless capable Colorado's, Fortrex, and Oregon units. The 401 lists for $249.99, while the 301 lists for $199.99. Product pages are not available as of this morning, but we'll include a link to the release in the show notes. Andy, what's up over at GSAC?
Well, GSAC has been upgraded to version 7.6.0 this morning. The update includes many improvements to display support for Colorado and Oregon units, and as well as improvements for support for the PDA through HTML and CacheMate and much more. Many upgrades were also provided for the macros. For more information about everything that was added, check the version history, which we'll link to in our show notes. Daryl?
Topographics has also released updates to three of their programs, and from their posting, the new versions of Expert GPS, Easy GPS, and GeoBuddy are now available. All three programs will now retrieve archived and saved track logs from a fitness history from Garmin GPS receivers with USB interfaces. That's a Garmin Edge, Garmin Nuvi, Garmin Colorado, Garmin Oregon, and others. You'll now see a Save Tracks checkbox when clicking Receive from GPS. More information about that release is available in the posting, which we'll link to in the show notes.
We also have two more updates to the CacheMate app for Android. 1.2.0 adds multimedia logging, SMS logging, and type to search. The multimedia logging supports camera and voice recorder. 1.2.1 improves the speed and the distance bearing updates for the waypoint list view, as well as fixing a bug in the map view that could cause a crash if tapped before the points were fully loaded. And as always, we'll include links in the show notes.
Geocaching question of the day. Bad cop asks, you answer.
Hello, this is the Bad Cop, and welcome to the geocaching question of the day. Each weekday, I ask a geocaching-related question to my Twitter audience, and then summarize the replies and post it on my website. This is what I call the geocaching question of the day. Last week, I asked the question, do you have a signature item that you leave in the caches you find? What is it? 57% of the people that replied said they do not have a signature item. 43% responded yes. There are items such as poker chips, hockey cards, a bowl, path tags, coins, marbles, beads, dice, and clothespins. What about you? Do you have a signature item? Want to find out more? Follow me, the Bad Cop, on Twitter.
Well, thanks, the Bad Cop. Tonight, we'll be talking about upgrading your GPSR. It would be very easy to simply say that there's one best unit for anyone geocaching to buy, but sadly, it's really not that easy. We'll talk about some of the messages we've received from listeners and hopefully come up with some of the best choices for them.
If you'd like to talk to us directly about your upgrade questions during tonight's live show, please call into TalkShoe at 724-444-7444, TalkCast ID 7525, and request to talk. We'll take live calls between the messages we've already received. So, Andy, why don't we start with actually what GPSs we use?
Well, Daryl, that's a good idea. I'm using the Garmin 76 CSX and the eTrex Legend. How about you?
Well, I'm using a few units, actually. As most probably know by now, I'm using the iPhone 3G for caching, especially the paperless. As a supplement, though, I carry the tried-and-true Garmin GPS Map 60 CSX on the trail. Dree carries the Oregon 300 and her iPhone, and on the dashboard, I use the Nuvi 265T, and sometimes I bring along the Colorado 400T. Over the years, though, I've used many GPSRs, including the eTrex Vista CX, Rhino 520, the Rhino 530, the Magellan Explorer 600, SportTrack Pro, and Meridian Color. So we've gone through a variety of GPSs, and we still really haven't found that perfect combination. So why don't we get to the first message that we received, and we'll try to solve that person's issues.
Cookie Queen wrote in and said, help, I need advice on choosing a new GPSR. Although I currently have a Magellan Explorist, lack of support from Magellan and widespread use of Garmin products by local cachers makes me want to jump ship. So many speak fondly of the 60 CSX, which is what I originally wanted to purchase as an upgrade, but I'm also thinking of the Oregon 300. And then, I wonder about the 76 CSX. I do not have the capability to do paperless caching currently, and I would like to do that with everyone, you know, all on one device. However, I'm not in the least bit tech savvy. Any advice that you could send my way would be greatly appreciated.
Well, don't forget about the DeLorme PN series units. The PN40 provides a paperless caching support, and in many ways, theirs is better than Garmin's version. I particularly like the ability to move and add geocaches from the device, which Garmin can't do at all. You'll find that the PN series is more like the Magellan interface than a Garmin, so it might be an easier jump, and the cache register software makes loading caches and posting field notes really easy. So that's something that you probably want to take a look at.
Also, I would say, as far as the paperless caching on the PN40, it is the best. It allows you to see most of the information that is on the cache page.
Yeah, and you can see that with the Oregon and the Colorado, but you're just not given that option to move them around, and that's what really bugs me. You did mention in your letter, though, the support for the geocaching community is really around those Garmin units, and that's very true. You're not going to find a unit better supported than the GPS Map 60 and 76 series, with the standard mini USB connector and support from most geocaching waypoint managers. The 60CX or CSX is the standard unit these days, and you can find those for under $300 with some searching. The 76CX or the 76CSX are basically the same unit in a bulkier case, which is designed to float. Now, Andy, you have one of those.
I do have one of those, and it is a little bit bigger than the 60 CSX, which at first I was kind of a little bit worried about. But if you're clumsy like me, you are going to love the fact that it does float. I love the customization on it. I can do that through, you know, via GSAC and some other programs too. And it's basically dead on as far as accuracy goes. But again, I'm partial to it because I do love Garmin products and I have one. I would recommend that. But again, I am partial. Now, we had a listener call in their questions about upgrading from a Rhino 130 from a voicemail. Let's go ahead and hear that.
Hi, guys. This is Geocache user One Patriot from Michigan. I was just listening to your quick update stating that you're going to have an upcoming show about upgrading your GPS unit. I currently use a Rhino 130. I bought it about 3 years ago, and I've loved it up until about a year ago. And I got to go out caching with a couple people that have the CSX 60 and a Garmin Oregon and a Garmin Colorado. And all those three units have features that I love, but each of them don't have all the features I love, such as the CSX has averaging and is extremely accurate and reliable. The Oregon has a touchscreen, which my phone is a touchscreen. I'm getting used to that. I'm really loving it. And both the Oregon and the Colorado have field notes and are able to do the where I go caches. So I was wondering if there's a unit coming out that will have averaging, high sensitivity receiver, a touch screen, take pictures, do where I go caches, and make me coffee. Like to hear what you guys have to say about that. Bye.
Well, thanks for the call, One Patriot, but actually neither the Colorado or the Oregon include support for making coffee. We're hoping for that in a future version. Perhaps maybe the unreleased 575 series will include a coffee maker. Hint, hint.
You mentioned Garmin, though, if you're listening.
Yeah, hopefully they'll come out with that. You know, just one cup. We're not asking for much, just one.
Us geocachers need coffee and caffeine, too.
Yeah, you got to have that Java when you're on the trail. You mentioned, though, that you're looking for support for the Where I Go cartridges, and that means you will be looking at the Colorado or the Oregon, as they are the only handheld GPSRs currently for support with Where I Go.
Now, I would also love the coffee maker GPS, you know, like we said. However, I would go with the Oregon. It does have its drawbacks, as it is, you know, touch, and it can be harder to use in the cold weather with your gloves on and things like that. But it can do the Where I Go cartridges. Daryl, does the Oregon have waypoint averaging?
No, and there's actually some debate as to whether averaging works with high sensitivity receivers. I first actually noticed the problem back with my 60 CSX, where in many conditions the averaging really degraded the performance because it would actually record that drift. You know, so I ended up with lower accuracy than just marking a single waypoint. Really, the best method, though, is far less convenient, and that is to go back to the same location, you know, between days. You know, give it some time and, you know, let it settle out. You know, you'll have different receiver conditions on different days, and then you have to manually average them, but that is really the best way to do it. Now, the current beta version of the Oregon software does actually support the averaging of the waypoints. However, there have been some reports of some very serious issues with the beta software. And again, it's beta software. The Oregon is still really an unfinished product as far as the software goes. So you kind of have to keep that in mind, too, when you're looking at either one of the units. In my opinion, the Colorado still hasn't really had its software finished, and they're really very similar in many ways. Now, moving on, one of the emails which actually prompted this topic came from a listener in Maine, and I'm going to read most of his email here, which I apologize if I mess anything up. Right now, we're using an old Magellan Sportrack Pro, but find that while it works okay, one, the issues of connectivity via GSAC and a serial port to the PC at work, don't tell, are a pain. We're Mac folks at home. Two, the base map on the Sportrack is very basic. And three, some questions about its accuracy are making us want to move to a newer, better, more Mac-friendly GPS. From what I hear online, the model of choice seems to be the Garmin GPS Map 60 CSX, but I'm also considering a Colorado 300 or 400T. The Colorados are somewhat more pricey than I really wanted to go, but sometimes I'm finding the 300 online for not much more than the 60 CSX. Whichever I end up with, I anticipate starting to use with Mac caching and USB connectivity at home. I know that your initial impression with the Colorado was not very good, but there have been some upgrades since then. Did the upgrade solve most of the things that made you think it wasn't the best tool for caching? We're already paperless using a Palm and CacheMate. Are the pluses of Colorado worth the extra money, or is a 60 CSX basically just as accurate, but without the bells and whistles? Any advice you can offer is certainly welcome. Thanks in advance, and thanks for all the work you put into the podcast, and I enjoy listening to the programs. Well, I've already responded to this one. Andy, would you like to take a crack at it?
Sure. One of the main reasons that I wanted to upgrade to the 76 was the USB cable. It was nice to be able to load caches via USB. As far as the base map goes, almost all of the GPSRs are going to have just the basic base map. Since you're already doing paperless, I would say go with a 60 CSX. The unit's very stable, gets good reception, and the 60/76 units can do some little bit of paperless if you load them through GSAC, as you can customize the waypoint name as far as you like, customize it to a little bit of the information. Now, as far as the Mac goes, I'll let Daryl talk about that because I'm not much of a Mac user.
Yeah, Mac Caching is a great app, but it doesn't really support the Colorado and the Oregons well. Those who want a waypoint manager on their Mac, however, will find it's an easy yet powerful program once you've registered it, and it works best with the eTrex and the GPS Map 60 and 76 units. If you don't need the waypoint manager and don't mind loading the pocket queries right off the emails, then the Oregon is a terrific solution. I'm not a fan of the Colorado, even with the latest software. It really doesn't feel very good, and it takes a lot of time to perform functions on that, more so than it usually takes on even the Oregon, that does require more taps, but it's just quicker and easier to get in and out of most of the menus. So I really like the Oregon, and the text entry is much better. If you can deal with the drag and drop of the PQs and you don't actually need to go through the waypoint manager, that's probably the best solution, just because it does take care of everything all in one. You can still load individual caches through the plugin on the website on any of those units. So for that quick cache and dash, you've got it right there. And it really is more of a question of, do you want to go for the paperless all-in-one unit, or do you want to go for the more tried and true 60 CSX? I've heard, I haven't actually seen one, but I know people who have gotten 60 CSXs for under $200. So really, that's probably the way to go. Now, I also received another email this month from a listener looking to upgrade, and she said, I want to purchase a new GPSR. When caching in Tahoe a couple of weeks ago, I got terrible reception. My husband has a 60 CSX, and I have the eTrex Legend CX. His did a lot better than mine, but I want an all-in-one. I was thinking about the Oregon or the Colorado. I've heard you talking about the PN40, but that didn't really sound very good. I'm guessing the most important thing is the reception, but I'm not really sure. You're always talking about different GPSRs, so I figured you're the person with the most knowledge I know. Not that I know you, but I do listen to the three shows you're on and respect your opinion. I wasn't sure if you had a written article about this and posted it on one of your blogs or not. Thanks for all you do, and really enjoy the shows you're on. Well, she's already read my thoughts on this one, so Andy, you want to take this?
Well, Daryl, I've only met you once or twice myself, so I really can't claim, besides the being a co-host with you, that I really, really, really know you either. But the PN40 isn't a bad unit. Again, I'm just partial to the Garmin units. It's a little bit hard to get used to if you're used to using a Garmin unit, like she said she was. However, the paperless function on the PN40, I don't think can be beat. I think it's the best on the GPSR, on a GPSR yet. Now that the cash register software is out, it's really easy to load. Again, that's a $10 extra fee on top of the unit, though. what I would suggest is going to REI or some other store that you can get your hands on the GPS units and just see what works for you. All three units have paperless, but if you want to do the Where I Go caches, only the Garmins support this. Daryl, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, Colorado, in my opinion, is really not worth buying. The Oregon is a very nice unit, but still has some software issues. It does have an easier interface to use than the PN40 and supports Where I Go. The PN40 is a nice alternative, though, despite the lack of Where I Go support, and the interface is a little bit less intuitive to the Garmin users. Both units will be much better than the eTrex Legend CX, and for that matter, any of the H units will still be better as well. So if you don't want to go all the way up to like a Colorado or Oregon, and again, I really don't recommend the Colorado, then take a look at some of those H units in the eTrex line. They are going to perform much better than any of their older siblings. But let's try to sum up our recommendations here. First, let's go to the GPS Map 60 and 76 series.
These are basically the same guts. The 60 CX or the 76 CX are very reliable units. When the S is added to the name, that means that there's an electronic compass and barometric altimeter included. Most cachers turn that off, though, so I wouldn't pay extra for it. There's more support for these units within the geocaching community than any others that we've seen, which makes it easy to find someone within your local community to give you a hand. They don't support the paperless caching, though, but there are some workarounds if you're willing to go through that. None of this series includes the maps, though, so if you're looking for those, plan on adding them in when you're making your selection. Caches can be loaded through the Garmin Communicator plugin directly from the geocaching.com site or waypoint managers like GSAC or Geocaching Swiss Army Knife. All four options include both USB and serial communications. That might be an issue if you have some devices of an older design which you'd like to connect.
Yeah, that's a good point, because I have a few Nikon DSLRs which have an option to connect an external GPSR through a serial connection. I actually have a dedicated GPSR for each of them, but if I wanted to use my 60 CSX with any of those, all I have to do is get the MC35 cable and connect them right up. But now let's take a look at that DeLorme PN40.
Daryl and I have both had a chance to use these units for a few months. There are quality units, and they come with topo maps on DVD-ROM that can be loaded from your Windows PC, and use 3-axis compass, too. For an extra $10, you can purchase the cash register widget, which makes loading of the PN series easy for caches, and uploading the field notes to geocaching.com. Geocaching.com supports sending caches directly through the plugin for Mac and Windows. The PN40 allows caches to be added or moved in the field, a very handy feature, but does not have support for some of the function many take for granted, like projection, and does not support the Where I Go cartridges.
We do talk candidly about these units, but there are nice features for those who want paperless caches, but not Where I Go, especially for the former Magellan users who will probably find the interface far more familiar than the Oregon. Now, speaking of the Oregon, there's basically three models we suggest. That's the 300, the 400T, and the 550T.
This is the latest touchscreen unit, similar in GPS performance to the GPS Map 60 and 76 series, but this is still a new unit and is undergoing software upgrades. The current release has been pretty stable, but still lacks support for projections. The paperless support is excellent, with the option to type in notes through its unique keyboard for your field notes. Caches are loaded through the Garmin Communicator plugin directly from the geocaching.com site, drag-and-drop file copies, or waypoint managers like GSAC. All of the Oregons, except for the 200, also support wireless transfers of individual geocaches or waypoints between themselves and the Colorados. The 300 does not include maps, but both the 400T and the 550T include topo maps. The 550 includes a camera and improved 3-axis compass, but the real reason we've included it is the boosted support for up to 5,000 geocaches and 2,000 waypoints. These also include support for Where I Go cartridges.
Now, the one thing we haven't mentioned is an entry-level unit, and that's because this show's really more about upgrading your GPSR. If you have a functional unit, that's the best one to pass on to another potential cacher to get them started, or to keep as a backup unit for the sibling or the kids. But if you're looking to buy one for that purpose on the new market, check out the eTrex H series.
The Legend H series includes high sensitivity receiver, which allows them to work better than their older siblings under most conditions. Basically, there's two units that we want to mention here. The Legend H includes a grayscale screen and support for maps, that's going to be under $150 US. The Vista HCX adds color and a slot for an extra map storage for under $250 US. These units only support 500 waypoints, but can be loaded through the Garmin Communicator plugin directly from the geocaching.com site or waypoint managers like GSAC. Well, thank you all for joining us tonight as we talk about upgrading your GPSR. We hope this episode has been helpful for you. You can join us each Tuesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time on the TalkShoe service. You can call in live at 724-444-7444, and our TalkCast ID is 7525. Our show notes and links to all of our past shows can be found at geocachingpodcast.info. You can call our voicemail line, and we'd love to hear from you. That number is 206-350-3GPS anytime, and leave us a voicemail. Have a great week, and happy caching.
We do talk candidly about these units, but there are nice features for those who want paperless caches, but not where I go. Especially for the farmer Garmin... Blah! Farmer? Yeah, you know those farmers that use Garmin.
Jeez.